Tuesday. All right, good morning again. So it's good to see you guys, and this is kind of exciting. We're wrapping up a series, and I like when we wrap them up. You know, you probably do too. You like, thank goodness that's over. But no, I like when we wrap them up because it means that God's got something for us today, and that we're gonna do something new next week, and He's gonna have something for us in that too. And so today is our fifth week of Better, and if you haven't been able to kind of track along, all the first four are all on the website. You can go there and listen to those and catch yourself up. I think this has been a really cool series in the fact that it's just helped us to be able to do some very practical things in our lives to be better. And no pun intended. It is a pun intended because we ought to be better. We should always want to be better. We should always be looking for what is it that I can do? What are the changes I can make that just make me better? That make me better for myself? That make me better for the people around me? Make me better for my job? Make me better for my kids? Make me better for the people I hang out with? Make me better for God so that He can use me more effectively. And when the Bible talks about the abundant life that God wants for us, it comes when we're better. And so I don't know that if you've been challenged enough yet, I don't know if you've been pushed enough, I don't know if you've even really thought about it much, but to be better is something that we should all desire. I mean, we always want to be making more money, right? Anybody not want to make more money this year than they made last? If you don't want it, I know where to put it, okay? I know where you can do that. But we want more, time with our friends. We want more this, we want more that, and we want better time with our friends. We want better time with our families. And so we want to be better as well. I just got back this week. I got to spend a few days in Atlanta at a conference called the Catalyst Conference, and you've probably heard me talk about it before, but it's just my favorite conference that kind of happens for church leaders and things like that. It's kind of a place where we can go and we can go have church. We can kind of unplug from our churches and go and just kind of get refreshed and refilled. And it's kind of at a place where I really kind of needed that and got the chance to go hang out with the staff from Vortex Church here in town. Spent a couple days with them just hanging out and they were so generous. They invited me to go along and tag along, and the best part about it is they paid the bill. So that's one of the things that you need to know happens around here, is that there are good churches in town. I'm not trying to, not trying to get you to go to another one. You can if God leads you to. But the reality is we're not the only game in town, and they're not either. And that they know it, I know it, and so therefore we work together to be able to minister to the people that God wants us to have. And so just a cool thing. I got to just really enjoy that time. And so I'm kind of jacked up, and so I may talk a little fast, and I might sweat a little bit more than usual. I know you think that would be hard to do, but anyway, I got on a black shirt, and those lights are like soaking it up right now. So here's the deal. And I didn't freeze you out today like I could have, so you're welcome. But anyway, so here we are in this series called Better. We're wrapping it up today, and we've kind of gone through these things, understanding that there are choices that we make all day long, every day, right? And so the reality is we have to choose something. And we hope we choose good, but the Bible tells us no matter what we choose, there is always something we can choose that's better. And it makes it very clear to us in Scripture that there are always better choices. And so we've gone through the first 4 weeks looking at some scriptures that really were meant to be the theme of that particular message, but also to be messages that we can kind of, scripture we can put in our heart, we can memorize it, and then be able to pull it out. And so I just want us to kind of backtrack a little bit and go through those, read them together, and kind of set us up for where we're going today. So week one, we looked at Psalm 84:10. So I want us to read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. That's a great scripture for you to memorize. Kind of puts things in perspective. Week two, we were here in Ecclesiastes 4:6. It says on three, let's read it together. One, two, three. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. A reminder that it's sometimes better to have one handful where we don't have to stress out and worry ourselves to death over it than it is to have two with all the junk. Week three, we were there in Proverbs again, 16:16. Let's read it together. One, two, three. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. And so wisdom is that thing to be cherished and treasured, and we should want that for our lives, and we should seek that out. It's better than all the riches we can have, is to be wise. All right, week four, last week, we were in Proverbs 22, verse 1. So let's read that together. One, two, three. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Wait a minute. A good name is, and to be esteemed is better than silver and gold? Well, wasn't wisdom better than silver and gold too? Well, guess what? That means that there's two things we ought to desire at least. Better than having all the money and all the wealth. We should want to be wise, and we should want to have a good name. We should want to have integrity. And so we've looked through these series that there are things that are better to have in our lives than certain things. And this week is no different. We're going to continue on in this, looking at one that I think is going to hit all of us. And I think it may be a very good time as we go into the fall, as things have kind of seemed to calm down after summer. But today we're going to look at this. Here's the title for today's message. Is better is hold on. Sorry. Patience is better. That word is one of those words I don't even like to say. Wore me out just saying it. Patience is better. Who in the world has got time for patience? I mean, really. I don't know about your life, but my life, patience just doesn't fit in at all. It's one of those words that just messes us up, doesn't it? When somebody tells us to have patience, you know, and we're all worked up about something, and they're like, oh, you just got to be patient. You know, you just want to slap them. I'm just being honest. You just want to, you know, I know in Jesus' name, but whatever. But we want to, you know, we want things now. That's our society. We want things now. When we want them to happen. You know, we wanted it yesterday, kind of thought process. And that's where we find ourselves. And so let me just ask you, just being honest in the room, how many of you at least occasionally get impatient? Just show your hands. Yeah, there's some of you that probably ought to raise your hand because I know, you know, some of you couldn't even wait to get your hand up. I know y'all are impatient, but some of, you know, it's just one of those things that gets us. We get in such a hurry in life. You know, we try to get things to happen when we want, and we find ourselves going after things, putting ourselves in bad positions when we didn't have to. Impatience is one of those things that drives us to make really dumb decisions, isn't it? And then we have to deal with the fallout of it because we weren't willing to wait just a little while longer sometimes. You know, I always think there's, you know, it's just, sometimes it's just what I really want and desire. Man, I know if I give in, because it's probably just right around the corner. But dang it, I'm going through that wall and I'm going to get there faster. I'm not even going to wait to go around it. I'm going through it. And that's the way we find ourselves often doing that. We try to, and we get in traffic. You know, some of the places I hate to go the most are Christian concerts. Because Christians are some of the most impatient people in a parking lot I've ever seen. I mean, they won't let you out. You know, it's just, it's funny. You know, one of the comedians down there that was kind of in between the speakers or whatever, he kind of talked about it. So it was really cool because when we went to leave, everybody was letting everybody out. You know, it was really funny. So y'all remember that when you get in the parking lot out here, because it just happens. One of the places that people are the most impatient, believe it or not, you know, I've been working over at Stanley Funeral Home just a little bit, helping them out sometimes in visitations. One of the places that people are the most impatient is the viewing line at a doggone funeral. I've never seen something like that. I had a man get so mad at me. It's the maddest anybody's been at me in a long time and showed it to my face. Because I told him he had to go around to get in the back of the line, and he wanted to go straight in. No joke, I thought this 80-year-old man was going to fight me right in the middle of the, and he probably might have whooped me because he's that mad. But really, you know, we get so impatient, places that we put ourselves, and we won't even let people go in front of us. We want to get things done. We want to get it now. And patience is one of those things that just we need to have. And what happens is one of the places that we show impatience the most is with the people that we love, isn't it? We seem to have patience for a lot of other things, but when we get around the people that we love, we seem to lose it. And it's the one place we should have it the most, but we seem to run out of patience. And I do that all the time. I get home, I've given everybody else patience all day. I get home, I'm around my girls, and I got like zero left. And it frustrates me so much with myself because I've given it to everybody else, but the people that deserve it and really have earned it the most in my life, I don't have it for them. And so we find ourselves dealing with this kind of stuff, and we have anger and revenge and all those things. That seems to come so natural to us in our lives. But the reality is that there is something that is supernatural that needs to be in our lives that is better than those things. And what's better is patience. And it's God working in our lives, allowing us to have that, to have control over our temper, to be able to just wait on whatever it is that we're desiring to see happen in our lives. It's difficult, but the reality is God wants to be that, and He wants to do that for us. We lose patience all over the place. You get at work, and that one coworker, you know, that you just... it just won't get it done. You have to wait on them all the time. You know, it's the family member that you're wanting to see come to Christ, but you're having to, you know, you want it to happen, and you're praying for it to happen, and you're talking to them all the time about Christ, but it just won't click, and you're getting frustrated, and so you start kind of pushing a little bit. You know, maybe it's your own children, and sometimes, you know, parents are, you know, we want what we want for our kids, and we want to see the best for them. So sometimes we get way too pushy, and we push them away. Sometimes it's our spouse that's not a Christian, or our spouse who's not coming along in the marriage like we want them to, and is not meeting our desires, and we're praying, and we're wanting it to happen, and we get so frustrated that we start pushing on them to get them where we want them, but what we really do is we push them away. We lose patience for those things. We begin to make unwise decisions. You know, we want that new boat, but we just aren't willing to wait to save the money. We're going to go and we're going to get in debt and we're going to have to do it, or, you know, whatever it is for you. You know, there we do that stuff all the time. It happens. And so the reality of it is that we need to have patience. Here's our verse for today. It's Proverbs 16:32. Listen to what this says. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Think about what the implications of that is. We all think we have to be warriors, don't we? That we have to go after whatever it is that we want. That if we just will go and take it, then we're, that makes us a man, or that makes us successful, or that puts us in a good light. But the Bible says that a patient man is better than a warrior. Someone who waits on God, who controls his temper, who controls that pushy attitude to get their own way, that somebody who can control that is better than somebody who could take a whole city by themselves. Man, what about that patience? And let's say that together. Let's say Proverbs 16:32 together on three. One, two, three. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Think about what you just said. That somebody who can keep their cool and can wait is better than somebody who can charge down the hill with their sword drawn and whoop everybody's tail. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Because that's what we've been conditioned to be. Is, I mean, if you just go get it, go make things happen. You be the one. You be the change. I like this one, because this one is one of those churchy ones we use that can also get us in trouble. You go be the change you want to see in the world. Well, sometimes we become too much of that change and we get ahead of God and we begin to try to change things that he's also working in other ways to see happen. And we begin to push things in directions that are not meant to go quite yet. Patience is important. Better to be patient than an angry, argumentative, controlling fighter. Better to wait on God's timing than trying to make things happen. Just again, out of curiosity, how many of you have had your patience tested greatly in the last month? Yeah, see, we all have it, right? I mean, I just told you, I went to Atlanta this week. And you know what I'm going to say? If you go to Atlanta, there's one thing that you're going to deal with that is going to test your absolute patience. It's traffic, right? And I wasn't driving, which tests my patience even more. I am not a good rider, especially not in the second seat back. That, you know, I'm behind, looking around the driver, like, trying to get him to go and turn and do what I wanted. And fortunately, he was kind of aggressive like me. But the point is that even in that setting, I was wanting to push. I kept my foot kept doing this, trying to push on the gas for him and everything, because I was trying to get him to go. Because I wasn't patient. I didn't want to just sit in traffic. And so on the way back, we all were ready to get home. And on the phone, you know, the GPS, it came up and said, "Oh, there's a accident ahead. Traffic stopped." So it rerouted us. And I don't know where we went, but I'm sure we touched like 23 states going around this accident. Because it turned us we crossed over 85 three times to get where this thing was taking us. And it was just, I got more impatient with that than I would have just sitting there not doing anything. Because I just wanted to get there, and I kept seeing it, and you know, you're back and forth across. I just wanted to go, because we get impatient in that, and that's the way we do in life, isn't it? When God's trying to work in something to take us where he wants us to be, and we're wanting to see it happen, and sometimes we try to take that little extra step one way, hoping, you know, thinking it'll get us a little bit closer, but the reality is it took us away. And then we take another step this way, and the reality was it wasn't where God wanted us, so it took us another step from where he wanted us over there, and we do that all the time. But patience is better than, a patient man is better than a warrior. Better than, if you can control that, that's better than taking a whole city. And so we need to be able to understand that God's got something in there for us. It's easy to get frustrated and want to make things happen, to take matters into our own hands, to become the warrior who goes in, sword swinging and everything, and try to make it work. But the truth is that when we try to do it naturally on our own, and we don't take into account what God wants to do supernaturally in our lives, we totally miss out on everything that he has for us. And we get ourselves in places that we begin to truly lose hope, and we begin to lose sight of what it is. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone." Man, why do you have to say everyone? you know, couldn't he just left it to be patient? And then let me just figure it out on my own. But no, he said everyone. So that means we have to be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, for always, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. It's better to be a patient man than a fighter. Better to be a patient man than an argumentative, controlling, I'm going to do this my way, you know, no matter what kind of guy. It's better. Why? Why is it better to have patience? You impatient people, I know you just want me to tell you, right? But the reality is we're going to walk through this and we're going to look at what he has for us in this. So we're going to spend the rest of our time just going through a few reasons why it is better to have patience than to not have it. Here's number one. A patient person can help heal a broken relationship. A patient person can help heal a broken relationship. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Isn't that true? Man, I got to tell you, I'm kind of that guy that I want to jump in there and I want to fix it, and I want to fix it now when there's a problem. Sometimes I get way ahead of myself and I get kind of aggressive with that because I really want it fixed. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to fight. I don't want to waste time on all that. I want to get it done and done now. And sometimes that's just not the best way. It really isn't. Because when you aren't patient and you don't wait and you go in there and you try to fix it right then, you may say things and you may do things that just aren't appropriate for that situation and what needs to happen for that time. And I'm just confessing it in front of you. That's me sometimes. It just happens. I get ahead of myself not because I just want to be the jerk about it. I just want to get it fixed. Because we waste so much time on silly stuff and arguing that I want that relationship fixed and I want to move forward. And sometimes that's not the best way to do it. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. I think about Joseph in the Bible, not Joseph, Jesus' father, but his earthly father. I'm talking about Joseph of the Old Testament. And you think about, if you don't know the story, I'll give it to you really quick. But Joseph was the youngest of several brothers. They didn't like him because he was probably the one with the brains in the whole bunch. But they didn't like him for several reasons. They end up selling him into slavery. He goes away. He goes through all these kind of events in his life that were terrible things that he had to endure to get to where he ended up. But he finally ends up being this the second in charge in Egypt. He was a great position. And he was over handing out the food to all the people during the famine. And guess who ends up right in front of him? His brothers, right? And so here's this situation where Joseph is face to face with this and got this broken relationship with his brothers. And he has a choice. He can be a jerk, or he can just have them killed and done away with. He could have done anything that he wanted in that moment. But yet, he didn't allow that hot temper to cause him to do something that God didn't want him to do. He was able to control himself. And then God used that to restore the relationship with him and his family. It's important that we understand that when we go into situations and we're not willing to be patient, that we can really mess things up. And so maybe you are one of those people and you have one of these relationships that's broken and needs to be healed. Let me just tell you that being hot-tempered about it is not going to be the way that's going to fix it. But a patient man calms a quarrel. I know there have been times where I've wanted to confront somebody, but it was better that we waited so that everybody calmed down and we thought through it, prayed through it, and then we're able to have those conversations to see it through. Proverbs 25:15 says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. Listen, your boss may just aggravate you to death, And you may want to make him or her disappear, like forever, okay? I'm with you. Had bosses like that. You know, you just take them out back and whatever. So, but the truth is that the Bible says if you'll be patient in those situations, that patience could persuade them to be different, could persuade them to make a move in your direction, could persuade them to take the pressure off of you. But I can promise you, being a jerk about it, probably not going to do that. It's probably not going to let that happen. The Bible is very clear that a patient person can help heal a broken relationship. Number two, a patient person gives God time to work. A patient person gives God time to work. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and what? And wait for the Lord," all right? So I think when the Bible repeats something, we need to understand and we need to really acknowledge the fact that he said it twice. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait. I think about times where Jesus just didn't give up on people that he could have just moved on from. And the woman at the well, he confronts her, you know, and she kind of at first doesn't get what he's talking about, and then, you know, she doesn't know who in the world Jesus is and all this, and they begin to have this conversation. He begins to tell her about her life and the mistakes that she's made, and he does that so that in love she can be confronted with it and then do something about it. And I'm thinking about how he could have, in the very beginning, he could have shut that whole conversation down. In fact, he shouldn't even have been talking to her to begin with. As a Jewish rabbi, and as a man, he shouldn't have been talking to this Samaritan woman. But the fact is, he began this conversation and then is able to just be patient with her to get that to a place where she recognizes the issues in her life, runs down, tells the whole town about it, and they come back. And so God is able to have an opportunity to change all these lives because Jesus just didn't give up on this woman. He was patient with her in the beginning. I think about with Zacchaeus. He could have easily blackballed Zacchaeus, the tax collector, but he didn't. And instead, God's able to use him in a great way. I think about Peter, where Jesus could have just, man, after the third time he denied Jesus, man, he could have been outcast and forgotten about. But Jesus was patient with him and restored him and built the church on him, to allow him to be the one who he used greatly in the beginning to take the gospel to all the world. And it's because Jesus was patient with him. Think about my friend Dave Clemens, who led me to Christ. Here I was, this college kid who thought he had the world by the tail and just didn't have time for Jesus, didn't need Jesus. Didn't want anything to do with him other than to get a free haircut. And that's why I would go to church so Dave would cut my hair. And if you don't know my testimony, I'll be glad to tell it to you later. But all those things are a part of that. And so, but Dave, for a year and a half, almost 2 years, didn't stop. He didn't quit praying for me. He didn't quit just believing that God was doing something in my life. And because of that, God was able to move greatly in my life and completely just radically changed me. I'm thinking about, man, who have I got in my life that I've been praying for 2 years and I've been diligent enough to just hang in there? There's not many. Not as many as there should be, at least. And so who is it in your life that you're praying for and that you're being patient enough for, that you're not turning them off to the gospel by beating them over the head with it, but that you're being patient and loving them and continuing to invite them to church? Listen, if God's told you that there's somebody that you should be inviting to church and you invited them one time and they said no and so you quit, man, let me just tell you, you're not very patient and you're not very diligent. Don't quit. Sometimes even when they tell you, you know what, if you invite me one more time, I'm going to punch you in the nose. You know what? Sometimes you got to take a shot at it, you know? If God tells you to, do it. Because there's people that need to hear the gospel, and so our patience gives him time to work in their lives. Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope For what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. If we hope for what we don't have, which means that we believe God can do it, if we hope that and believe in Him and know that He's capable of doing it, and we don't have it, then He says, wait patiently for it. Until He says no, you keep waiting. And you patiently wait, and you wait for Him to tell you what your steps are. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to make people accept Jesus. Just give them the opportunity and let Him do the work in them. Give Him the room to do it. Better's a patient man than a warrior. Why? Why is that? Because you can help heal a broken relationship. Because you can give God time to work. And number three, because God is patient with you. Because God is patient with you. Because God is patient with me. Because God has been more patient with us than we ever like to acknowledge. God is more patient with us than we ever want to admit. We want to look at everybody else and we want to see things happen and we want to say this and that and everything, but you know, the hardest part for a believer in Christ is to look at themselves and realize and understand the patience it took for God to get you where you are and the patience it's going to take to get you where He wants you to be. You see, when we look at others, patience is so important for us. It's better for us because we've been extended patience and God's been gracious to us and patient with us, and therefore we need to learn how to be patient with other people. It's hard. You know, sometimes it's all you can do. But here's the reality. It should never be all that we can do. It should be all that we can do with God giving us the strength to do it. That's where we've got to love people. That's where we've got to be patient with people, not in our own strength, because we're not going to be able to do it. If I was having this conversation with my daughter Allie the other day, and like if things are left up to me, like I'm just telling you, it's going to look a whole lot different than it does if it's left up to God. Because I'm going to be like a bull in a china shop, and I'm just going to make it happen. I'm going to go in there and I was telling you earlier, if it's a relationship, I'm getting it fixed because I don't have time to wait on that. I want it fixed. I want it fixed now. If I want something to, if I want, somebody to accept Jesus, I want them to do it now because I want it to happen. If I want, the church to grow, I want it to grow now. But there's things that we have to be patient with. There's things that we have to allow to happen, and we've got to trust God. If I have the belief and the hope and everything in who He is, then I've got to be able to just trust Him to move the way and to move in everything else the way that He's had to be patient to move in my life. Here's what the scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, but do not forget this one thing. All right, so listen. If somebody says, hey, don't forget this, what does that mean for us? We shouldn't forget it, should we? That it's really important to them. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We need to understand that He's never in a hurry for us. But the reality is that though He may not be in a hurry, there's a schedule. But he's patient with us within that. That He is there giving us the opportunity to be where He wants us to be. He's patient with us because he's wanting everybody to have the chance to accept His Son Jesus. And so for me, it took two years for Him working in my life, putting people in my life that brought me to a place to recognize that I was lost without Jesus. I wasn't lost without Dave. I wasn't lost without the guys he introduced me to. I wasn't lost without that church, I was lost because I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And for some of us in the room, that's where we are. We're lost without that relationship with Him. For some of us in the room, we're not lost. We have a relationship. We're just not doing very much with it. And we're very impatient, wanting Him to fix our mess and fix it now. There's some of us in the room that it took a long time to get to the place that you are. If you feel like you're at a pretty good place, it's because it took a while. And God had to be very patient with you to get you there. And now He needs to be patient with somebody else. And it's up to those who are at a pretty good place to be willing to pray for those who need to come along. It's that we've got to be willing to allow Him to be as patient in everybody else's life as He has been in ours. For some of us, we need to understand that the time to come to God is now. He's been really, really, really patient with you. And He's ready for you to come to a place to recognize all that He wants to do in your life. That it's not just about playing the church game. It's not just about playing the life game. It's not just about, you know, going through the motions, but it's that He's gifted you and He's made you to fulfill a purpose in this world. And you've been extremely gifted, and He's been extremely patient with you to get you to a place to use those gifts and those talents. And so it's time. And so patience is better than a warrior. But listen, for some of us, He's been so patient with us that it's time for us to come and to recognize it. For some of us, it's time to realize that our impatience is part of the reason that we aren't where we need to be with Him. For some of us, it's that our impatience is the reason that the people around us aren't where they need to be in a relationship with God, because they're sick and tired of us pushing and prodding on our own instead of waiting on God to move in us and through us to minister to those people. So what is it about us? Where are you? Have you come to the place where you recognize who He is and are ready to allow Him to just move and do all that He wants to do in your life? Is it that you've been so impatient that you've pushed on everything to the point that it's been all about you, and now it's time to recognize it really isn't about you at all? It's about Him. It's about the purpose that He created you for. It's not about what you desire. It's not about what feels good to you. But it's about what He's made you to do. And it's about the place that He's put you to be able to do it. So this morning, we come to a place of just of being able to move and Him move in our lives and being able to make decisions to let Him be all that He wants to be. Where are you? What is your decision? Can we just stop and let's just pray together? God, I pray that right now, as we hear this word patience, and how it can make us cringe so much because we are so impatient as people. That God, I pray that You'll just slow us all down right now. Let us not be in a hurry to get out of here. Let us not be in a hurry to get it over with. But God, may we just, in these moments, wait on You. God, there are people in this room that I know are dealing with tragic, terrible things in their lives. And I know they want an answer. And I know they want You to fix it. I know they want You to move. God, I pray that You'll help them to be able to wait. God, there's people in this room who need something to change. But God, I pray that You'll help them to wait until they know for sure that that's what You want to change. God, there are people in this room who need to have a relationship with You. God, I pray that You don't let them wait, because You've been waiting on them long enough that in this moment they'll decide that acknowledge the fact that you sent your son Jesus to live here on earth, to live a sinless, perfect life. God, that you sent him to show us how to live. But God, you also sent him to be the one who paid the price for our sin. That all of us are separated from you by sin. That you sent your son Jesus to come and die to pay the price for that sin so that we could have the opportunity to be forgiven through faith and trust in him and to be set free from the penalty of that sin, that penalty of death. But God, you didn't leave him dead. On the third day, you raised him again. And because of that, God, we can not only be forgiven of our sin, but God, we can be restored into a relationship with you for all eternity. That God, that we don't have to worry about what happens when life ends here, that we can know that life goes on in the presence of the one who loved us enough to give everything for us. So God, in these moments, God, whatever it is that we need to decide, whatever we need to allow you to change, whatever we need to wait on, God, may you make it clear to us. For those who need to bring whatever it is to your feet, God, I pray that they would just come to the foot of this altar and just lay it down before you, God, to allow you to have it and to allow you to take it. To God, to let you be the one who carries it for them. God, I pray in these moments that if we need to make a relationship right, God, that we'll take advantage of that right now and be able to do that. God, if we need to accept you, that we'll come and we'll make that for sure right now. God, whatever it is that you need to do, I pray that you'll do it in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead and stand with us. This altar's always open. Whatever you need to let go of to have God's will in your life, do whatever you need to do.